This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday. I just hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are the same as always, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. BTC Flow channel 612. Well, I have a very special guest in studio today, and he is a special guest. He is one of the gentlest, gentlemen, friendliest, easy to get along with persons I know. At least in my experience. Maybe somebody else has a different experience. But what a professional young man, striving young man. I'm talking about none other than Mr. Philip Simon. How you doing, sir?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much. I was hoping to see you in person, but I'm always so pleased to hear your voice. I was wondering who you were introducing just now. I got one or two people I know who might challenge that.
We all do. We all do, right? But I believe that with all my heart.
Thank
I'm so
you.
Glad to have you talk to us about what you are doing as general manager of the Royal Caribbean International and the project that you have ongoing. You know, there are things going on in the Bahamas, and, you know, we get obviously from the press some things, et cetera, but it's always a wonder to be able to have someone who has the intimate details of what's going on in studio. And so I'm glad that you are here to let us know.
Thank
What's
you.
Going on?
Thank you. A lot is going on. And I also want to say I'm joined today by Paula Welsh. She's with Diane Phillips and Associates. And, of course, we do a lot of work together. So Paula's on the side of the
case. Oh, yes. Hi, Paula. You didn't tell me you was going to be here, too. But hi.
Hi. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to hear yours, too.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you. So a lot is going on. You would recall on the 22nd of April, we had a big groundbreaking. We signed our HOA and the lease agreements on the same day, and we had almost everybody over from corporate.
Very exciting event.
Monumental, long time coming, and so it was notable. It was noteworthy, and we started with the site prep and demolition works. So we were prepared to move the very next day, and so between now and then, a lot of activity on the property. We are essentially completed with the demolition part of that particular phase. the site prep, a couple of more things to do. And, you know, it's a transformation that's occurring. And for people who kind of look across every day and see the works and see the, and we'll talk a little bit about the tree.
Let's talk about the project. Let's talk about the project and what specifically you're doing.
Okay. So for those who may not know, this is the Royal Beach Club at Paradise Island, the very first of its kind by the Royal Caribbean Group. People would be familiar with Coco Key as a private destination, but this is in the Bahamas and in the world, the first of its kind for the company. It will be on the western tip of Paradise Island. We've acquired 13 acres of private land over a period of time, and of course, we have leased 4 acres of Crown land to be a part of it. And, you know, quite frankly, we are just constructing and building and dreaming up the ultimate pool and beach day.
Okay. That's the word, beach club.
Beach club, absolutely.
And
so the guests there would enjoy, like, let's describe what that experience would be for a guest.
So the guests would arrive, and the only way to get have ferries that are being constructed, it's a short trip across the Nassau Harbor, so you'll be there within minutes. You'll disembark to a stunning array of cultural infusion, beach and pool day experience. You know, beautiful beaches over there on the Paradise Island. So there'll be 2 beaches. We'll have 3 very large pools. We are trying to brand one of them as the largest swim-up bar pool experience in the world. You know, so a lot of things are happening. It's quite an exciting plan. We hope to accommodate, 2,500 guests per day. And again, these aren't just from the ships themselves. Obviously, they'll be from the ships, but this will be open to Bahamians as well. And so, you know, it's a daytime excursion per se, you know, so from 8 o'clock in the morning until the ships leave or until the sun sets. It's not a nighttime or an evening type of experience. We have, as everybody may know, we have done this in collaboration and in partnership with the government of Bahamas. And we hope to have very shortly, by the end of this year, Q1 of next year, an equity raise process for Bahamians to participate as well. So 49% of this is Bahamian and 51% is Royal Caribbean.
All around exciting okay. for Bahamians.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so.
I'll just add too. Again, this is different. This is a unicorn of a project for the cruise industry. Certainly for Royal Caribbean. You know, it's not Coco Key, which is an amazing. In fact, Coco Key, I think, is the number one private destination in the world for cruise ships. But you know, this is a partnership. So even the outsourcing of all of the services will be, and you know, it's 100% Bahamian, operated. And employees, and so that we're really proud of that.
You know, I was so glad to hear you say that it's open to Bahamians. I mean, I knew that, but I wanted you to say it because when I heard you talk about the extraordinary pools and beach stuff, I was just thinking about my children who would wilt their entire skin away a whole day by pools and by the beach.
Yes, absolutely. It's a day experience like no other. Going to be right in the heart of the harbor there, and so yes, it is very much so open to Bahamians, and we'll share more about that. For persons who are looking for a little bit of information even prior, just go to the Royal Beach Club at ParadiseIsland.com. I'll say that right now if people want to scroll the site while we're talking.
I'm there right now, and I'm watching. I'm seeing the drawings of what it would look like, and it's fascinating. I mean, I can see that that pool almost looks like a river, something.
Yep.
I mean, a little mile something.
Yep.
And beautiful. The artistic renderings are attractive and appealing. For sure. So I'm right there on the site, and I'm watching. I'm reading the description of the project. 17 acres, right?
17 acres.
Destination experience.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, you know, you can probably walk the entire 17 acres in about 15, 20 minutes. And so, you know, it's a narrow strip of land. It's a unique topography that we have made. I wish I could show you some of the, you know, some of the master plan, you know, finalized drawings and some of the 3D images. And it's just even beyond what you're looking at on the...
Come on the... the radio, and I'll describe.
You describe it. You'll get a national NDA.
The entire investment in this is how much?
So the HOA was signed at $165 million. Obviously, it's going to be more than that. You know, we have to also include the cost of the land. You know, the cost of the ferries. So it's going to be north of that.
What's the build out period time?
We want to be open by the end of next year. Between now and then, by Q4 of 2025, we want to have our doors open to our guests and the Bahamian public.
So you're done with the demolitions, work, et cetera. What is next?
Yeah, so quite a time. For persons who may not have been familiar with the property, it wasn't, you know, virgin land. It was quite disturbed. you know, it had homes, you know, for decades there. You know, you had Nicolas Cage, you had Gilbert Lloyd, you had, you know, I think the Moore family might have lived there. So quite you know, 5-6 homes and over a dozen structures. We've had tanks, underground tanks, again, because the only way to get to the site, you can't drive to it from Atlantis or on Paradise Island. It's remote. Everything was self-serviced, and that's how it's going to be even for us. So, you know, we went through the process of demolishing those structures, some of which were falling into the harbor. They were abandoned and neglected for a very long period of time. And so when you look at it now, they're gone. And in addition to that, a part of the process involved the removal of the invasive species, you know, up to 60% of the landscape that you saw over there were invasive species, as green and lush as it looked, as a part of the development project and under, you know, policy, environmental policy, we had to remove those. So that's what you've seen happening over the last couple of weeks.
And a number of those as well were infected. Yeah. So it wasn't just that they were invasive and it was a matter of removing them. They were infected, and it's incredible the people that are there from the environmental monitors that are there and what they're going through every single tree in Givago. You would not believe the process in which they take every single tree, every single plant they are going through, and they are looking at in very, very particular detail. And then determining if it's salvageable, and if it is, what part can they, you know, what can they do, and how can they replant it, and how can they make sure that it's brought back and used again?
That's right. A little over 2,000, you know, plants and trees that you know, we had to go on through. We tagged them from last year, and working very closely, we have actually two environmental monitoring companies, Bahamian, of course. In fact, all of the contracts are Bahamian, you know, these companies are really at the top of their game here locally. And so that's a commitment that we made. You're on the site and you're seeing probably where we've made environmental commitments along with the economic commitments. And a part of that has been protecting the island's habitat and eventually restoring it to its former glory, but with a beach club development to
build. Now I'm looking at these pictures, and I see a lot of coconut trees. Y'all have that many coconut trees on that place?
I don't know. It's, you know, the word of the day is lush. It's going to be lush. You're going to have native species. You're going to have a great combination of Bahamian, what we'd call native plants, flora, fauna. Of course, you can have palms. I mean, you cannot not have palms.
How else would you have coconut drinks?
I didn't ask that question because I thought there would be all those coconut trees. I just was thinking, boy, I would be living in that place all day. All the coconut trees would have, right?
Right.
I love me some coconut.
Oh, we all do. We all do. We all do. You would ask, well, what are we doing right now? What's next? You know, site prep and the demolition is just almost completed, almost 100%. But a part of that involves the relocation of these trees that are still on site. Some of them, most of them will be relocated. And again, it's the native and protected species that we have there as a part of our environmental commitment in the EIA and obviously being directed by the DEPP.
Okay. And once that's done?
Once that's done, you know, hopefully hand and we can start construction.
All these construction fellas and those who are looking for some more work, et cetera, then that's where they come in.
That's where the companies come in. That's where the RFPs come in. That's where, and again, to reiterate, you know, this is a unique development experience for all parties involved. And so the outsourcing, from the construction side, which is all the Bahamian, to the transportation side, when we get into operations as well, you know, whether it's food and beverage, waste management, medical services, IT, all of those things will go out to Bahamian companies and contractors. And of course, they will hire the staff that will conduct those services or those projects for us. We'll have a layer of management on top, and you may have heard we've already begun that type of staffing. And it's not just staffing for the beach club, although we'll have a layer of staffing to help manage the various contracts. But this is also for the Bahamas, right? So, you know, I guess I have the privilege of having kind of two roles, also the GM for RCI Bahamas. We've hired recently a harbor master, a native out of Grand Bahama, actually, Captain Cameron Gibson, excellent, excellent dude, man.
Yeah, he's pretty special.
And then also to our Director of Environment and Sustainability, Stacey Lubin, who's been in the industry for a very long time, very well respected, and we're so proud to have them. And more to come, Shivago.
Yeah, why don't you share some of that?
Well, we will be looking.
How about we do this? Let me go to my first break.
Okay.
And then after that, so we don't have to interrupt you while you are sharing. I'm seeing all these people there, right? And I swear to you, I thought I saw my daughter in that picture, man. And I'm wondering, like, what's she doing on that beach?
I thought you were going to say royalties.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this break.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze. Setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe! I ain't marsh the car.
The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is... For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to...
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on...
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful day with Mr. Philip Simon, who is the general manager of Royal Caribbean International Bahamas. And he is joined by Paula Welch of Diane Phillips and Associates. And we're talking about the Royal Beach Club there on Paradise Island. And let me tell you something. If the pictures represent anything close to what's going to be out there, it looks like a fantastic development to take place. And so you were beginning to explain, Brother Simon, some more of the details of next steps.
Well, Paula was making sure that in addition to, you know, sending a shout out, quote unquote, to, you know, the staff that we've hired for the Bahamas, and of course directly assigned to the Beach Club right now, since that's the new and hot thing that's that we're doing. We are looking to expand. We'll be hopefully engaging a general manager for the Beach Club, as well as a director of finance, as well as a director of engineering, as some more of the first hires that we will do. And again, these are the persons who will manage all of these different contracts and the vendors that will provide the third-party services to us. We haven't publicly said that just yet in terms of sending out your notices, but those, I mean, if people are interested and they're listening, those are the next three positions that will come about for us.
People are listening because somebody sent me a text, says, "Good day, Mr. Lang. Can you ask your guests where can one send a resume or lead project analyst or coordinator roles?"
Well,
I can't think.
my email address is philipsimon@rccl.com. That's Philip with one L and Simon with one M @l.com. And of course, we do have a recruitment office. We do have a recruitment office right here in Nassau, New Providence. And again, that's not just recruitment for the Beach Club. That is for, you know, all of the projects that we do, also Coco Key in the Berry Islands. So they are very active always.
So I don't have an interest in any of the jobs you mentioned. But, you know, if you have a job for like a customer, a guest, a special guest who could, like, just keep sampling the
secret
product and say, "I give you some feedback, just let me know, and I'll send you my resume."
secret shopper. Yeah, secret
yeah,
shopper.
See, you got it. That's what I'm talking about. This text says, "Good afternoon. Will investors have opportunity for Beach Club membership? Is the Beach Club a membership-driven thing?" I don't think so, eh?
No, it's not a membership. But in terms of investment, yes. So that's a... that's one of the next steps that we hope to, you know, tie up real soon and kind of go to market. Again, the partnership is between the government, which has, you know, equity based on the crown land that is part of the project. We have the balance of the 49% will be offered to the Bahamian public in a share offering. And hopefully we can get to that by the end of this year or Q1 of next year. And then of, you know, the 51% to Royal Caribbean Group. So, I don't know if I should start advertising that just yet, but certainly I would encourage persons once that becomes available to invest in the project.
Okay, well, there you go. It's an opportunity. This text says, "I like the opportunity for Bahamians, and it sounds as Bahamian small businesses." Small businesses is what they're saying.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things, right? You know, we are not trying to just have the usual suspects as a part of this. And I know that's something that you know, inevitably tends to happen, given, you know, economies of scale and scope. But, you know, we are hoping to craft the engagements in such a way that the smaller businesses, small entrepreneurs have an opportunity to participate as well. Because again, you know, whether, you know, it's a food and beverage contract, you know, we want to be able to position in such a way that, you know, whether it's ice cream or whether it's some native specialty, something. And, you know, we try to encourage people to dream. I mean, so here it is, we've got this, you know, branding it as this ultimate pool and beach day experience, but, you know, dream about what can happen. How can you play a role? What can you sell? To us and to this. I mean, opportunities will be limited just because it's only 17 acres of development. But still, I mean, yeah. And we've had focus groups last year. We did a lot of that last summer, and those persons who would have attended the input that we got and the opportunities and presentations that you did. We are not there yet. We had a little bit of a delay getting to the HOA, but now we're rolling. So expect to hear from us.
Typically in a setting like this, you have water sports and that kind of stuff. Are they going to also be Bahamian no. operated?
Well, yeah, they have to be
facilities.
Yeah, they have to be.
Yeah, yes.
By policy, by law, especially in the transportation and water sports industry. But we have not made any plans yet for that. The north side of Paradise Island there, we look very closely. Safety is at the top of the principles that we kind of implore in the company, and so we're not there just yet in terms of decisions, whether it's jet skis or the water sports, etc. But whoever does it, it will be Bahamian companies for sure.
Okay, all right. So just for my clarity now, so you're winding down
phase
one, where you were dealing with the demolition of structures that can't be used, and then dealing with the environmental issues related to
site prep,
etc. Mm-hmm. And now you go to phase two, and phase two is.
So that's kind of like pre-construction, the site prep and demolition phase. We're relocating. Tree species. That's what people will begin to see right now, actually. And that process will be maybe a couple of weeks. And then after that, once we have all of our approvals and permits in hand, we move kind of into the grading, the infrastructure, developments, prepping the land for that, and then construction could begin. So
is there an estimate of what the number of employees might be hired? I'm talking by subcontractors, contractors, and all that kind of stuff during the next phase and the construction phase?
I don't have that handy, but several hundred.
Yeah, and is that okay. is that because you have Bahamian contractors that
they,
are actually
determine,
and the people work
right.
for the contractors.
They work for the contractors,
right.
But in terms of the estimate of how many persons they would hire during the construction phase, several hundred. We anticipate at the conclusion by time we open, we'll easily have 300-400 persons on a full time basis through the various companies.
Wow, that's activity.
There's a lot of people.
That's opportunity.
There's a lot of people on the island. And then not to mention, too, there's full-time security as well, which is obviously as well a Bahamian company also. Yeah. And there's full-time security 24 hours a day. So there are people around that island.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how many there's environmental, there's engineering, there's construction, there's,
very well coordinated.
Yeah, very well coordinated.
And we understand the sensitivities of, around the project, and, we have a great appreciation for how we got here. And we know that eyes and ears may be looking and listening. And we've made a commitment to do things, well above board. That is the company's way, regardless. We've outlined it, those environmental principles that you would see on the website. That speak to, zero waste to landfill. We want to get to 100% renewable energy by 2030. We made a commitment that, long time ago, no dredging, no overwater cabanas. We want to have, like we do in Coco Key, the best-in-class wastewater treatment. And, of course, protecting the island's habitat. And we began, obviously, with the local environmental monitoring. So those are things that you would see on the site, and that's what we're doing.
When the beach club is in full bloom, how many passengers
customers?
Royal Caribbean would be bringing to the club?
We're targeting an average of 2,500 guests per day, and of course, additional Bahamians added to that. So that's the average. So you know, you can do your math in terms of open days throughout the year. That always leads to the question of, is that taking away from other opportunities along Bay Street or for other excursion and other, opportunities and companies? No. Short answer is no. And, I said it earlier today in conversation with somebody else, we have a unique opportunity here in the country. For the cruise industry is not going away. In fact, it's just growing. Even with Royal Caribbean, you would have heard our CEO mention early in the year that we're going to be adding a 1 million to the numbers that we bring by 2027. That's significant, right? And so what are we going to do with all of these people that are coming? The beach club is taking a small percentage, but the pie of the opportunities that we are creating. What are the products that we're offering? People travel. They don't want to be on the ships. They honestly do not. That's a myth. They want to get off and they want to experience the destinations to which they sail. And so what are we going to be offering? What are we developing? How are we growing, businesses to accommodate and get these dollars out of their pockets in the next couple of years and into the foreseeable future?
That's what I say, man. That's what I say. I say, listen, one thing we know in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is millions of people are going to come here, mm-hmm. whether they come by air or most will come by cruise ships. And we hear this talk, the cruise ships, people don't spend that much money, et cetera. The last I checked, me and you, when we go someplace, if something gets our fancy,
We can spend.
I'm not planning to spend that. But yeah. We can spend that money.
We can spend it.
I have a hard time going east to west and not spending any money.
Right?
Absolutely.
I recall, I went to Disney World every single year for 15 years with my children straight. Okay? Every year. Listen to me, bro. I went downtown Disney. I don't know yet how much things I spend money on. This one selling Italian ice.
Yep.
This one selling candy apple.
Yep.
The other child one little spinning something.
Yep.
And by the time you're done, I know I was out a couple of dollars. Just spending up, right? But that was part of the experience.
Correct. And this brand that we privileged to call home, the Bahamas, is just so unique, and it's such a privilege and a blessing. It's a matter of packaging and developing and promoting, and then we have to do our part on the other side of getting into these big markets, and I call the cruise industry a very, very big market, and making it easier for access and doing business with us. That's a good challenge to have.
Yeah. Now sometimes people, are confronted with the reality that the cruise ship itself provides so many amenities and opportunities for people, so that they say, by the time people come off, they have limited wants and needs or that kind of thing. But I think that is so to a degree, but I've never seen a compelling offer turned down by people who are interested in it.
Not at all.
So that's really the bottom line. Offer something unique, something different, something that's not on the ship. And I think they're spending opportunities, as you say.
Yeah. People would look and they'd see the Icon of the Seas, which launched earlier this year. And then earlier this summer, Utopia of the Seas, which is dedicated to the Bahamian market. Right? It's quite unique to have a ship of that size completely dedicated to a three-day, four-day cruise market.
Yeah.
Right? And you go on board these vessels and it is amazing. No doubt about it. They have just about everything you can think of. But what they don't have when they land in the ports is what we call our culture, our arts, our craft, our the taste and sounds and touch and feel of the Bahamas. That can't be duplicated. That's purely in our hands.
I bet they have a waffle on that ship. But I bet they don't have a guaffle on that show.
Right.
A guava waffle.
Correct.
And I know where they are produced.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. And that's the point I'm trying to make. So, you know, I think over the next several years that, you know, again, there's a unique opportunity for us to really, you know, take advantage of the growing numbers of visitors that we know already that are going to be coming, if only a part of the cruise industry, but they're going to be coming. And then you look at, look around. I mean, you know, before it was just really focused on the cruises, but now, you know, all of us are, you know, land-based types of destinations. And yes, they started out in private islands, and I think we all probably have one. But again, those are opportunities as well on the private islands. But even in New Providence and Grand Bahama, you see what's happening. You know, and more things to come, by the way. You know, obviously, we are always looking, and that's the standard line that I have to use all the time. But we are looking very actively, you know, to expand the partnership that we have with the country. And I'm privileged and you know, to be a part of this. I had mentioned earlier to, you know, it took me, you know, two months to kind of make up my mind. You know, back in the day, I was with the Chamber of Commerce, and, you know, we had some issues with the FCCA and the cruise industry, and, you know, it was, you know. And so, you know, when I did my research and, you know, I saw this new model that they were coming with, and I interviewed them. You know, they were coming after me, and I was interviewing them. And I'm like, you know, and every commitment that was made has been kept. And so I have an opportunity now to lead for the Bahamas market, you know, the infusion of us into everything that, and sometimes I'm switching these hats, but us in this instance mean Bahamas and Bahamian into the opportunities with the Royal Caribbean Group. They know internally, Shivago, they know that. And I told them, I said, listen, if there ever comes in, you know, you know, some type of conflict between country and company, you will always know where I'm going to be. And they're like, that's exactly what we want. And so I'm proud to represent, you know, the company, and even more proud to represent being Bahamian and leading the initiatives that we have in the Bahamas.
Well, we've got 8 minutes left in this half of the show, so you might as well stay with me. But I have to take a quick break.
Okay.
Because I do want to ask you one final question.
Sure.
Before you leave.
Okay.
All right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. We are here with Mr. Philip Simon, the General Manager of the Royal Caribbean International Bahamas, and we're talking about the beach club on Paradise Island that they are erecting. And of course, he's here with one and only Paula Welch from Diana Phillips and Associates. We'll be back after this break.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hey guys, this Friday, September 13th, Dunkin' is celebrating you on Customer Appreciation Day. On this special day, we're honoring our beloved founder, George Myers, in the sweetest way possible. All day, with every drink purchase, you'll get 5 free munchkins, George's favorite treat. Thank you for being part of the Dunkin' family. So, mark your calendar for Friday, September 13th. Swing by Dunkin' and grab your favorite drink and enjoy 5 free munchkins on us because we appreciate you.
Offer valid only on Friday, September 13th. Thank you for choosing Dunkin'.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Cavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Bahamas, are you ready?
Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group, along with Alpha Sounds, present
the best of the best, Raking, Scrape, Explosion, Reloaded.
This is the biggest one-day all-Bahamian concert of the year.
Featuring KB, D-Mac, Abby,
Mama D,
Fine Sean,
Shine, 242,
The Falcons,
and more.
Mark your calendars on the 2nd
at Super Club Breezes Ground.
Tickets now available at BahamasETickets.com
or both Beauty Shack locations.
General admission $60. VIP Skybox and Skypods also available.
For more info, call 394-0819
or email keepthevibealive242 at gmail.com.
Experience the magic once again
with more legends for one night only.
Come
party with us November 2nd at Best of the Mass. Raking, Scrape, Explosion, Reloaded.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we are here for a few more minutes with Mr. Philip Simon, the General Manager of Royal Caribbean International Bahamas, and Paula Welch of Diane Phillips & Associates, talking about the Royal Beach Club there on Paradise Island, on the western end of Paradise Island, representing numerous opportunities for Bahamians, as they say on the website, operated by Bahamians, right?
Correct.
Completely. That's what it's on. I wanted to ask you, because in my former life, having been exposed to what some of the cruise lines were doing in terms of their private destinations, one of the cries that was often given was how the cruise line may have reserved for itself so many of the activities. But this sounds like an absolutely different model of things.
Completely.
Quite unique in the extent to which Bahamians are participating in the operation of the amenities on the beach club. Is this not so?
That is absolutely correct. I said earlier, if you look at any of the other private destinations, including the one that we have over the Inverary Islands, they would have operated within their own silo, their own sphere, and it was easier to do business in that way. This is different. We will have many different, dozens of contracts. All of the service operations, the intent is to outsource those to Bahamian companies. That has not ever been done. And we understand that it's going to be a challenge. It's a new paradigm for the company. We are every day, moving towards, how are we going to, perfect this, coming from a different experience, but very much so committed to making it happen. And, we have, started and been in communications and dialogue with a lot of Bahamian companies, as Paula mentioned, last year. We had charrettes and we had focus groups and sessions, and
that was a lot of fun. Those were great.
We
had some amazing people we met there.
Great. So that is the model. That is the model.
All right, well, listen, we wish you all the best, and if you need to update us again, please let us know. We're happy to host you, and as always, Brother Simon, you are your usual, normal, professional, authentic, direct self.
Thank you so much. Paul is reminding me, maybe on another show we can talk about Grand Bahama. Of course, you were there last week, and we were, with the shipyard, and that's just another exciting growth opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, absolutely. Yes, let's talk about it. Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate
you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, boy, I got to talk to you about some stuff. When we come back from the break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4216. 59 from the Family Islands. You can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I'm reading the newspaper, and I'm reading The Guardian, and I'm reading an article written by Tanika Thompson. The article's headline says, politicians who have faced, in quote, rough weather, should step down, Mitchell says. Politicians who have faced rough weather should step down, Mitchell says. So, you know, my curiosity is piqued. I'm piqued. I dive into the story. And the story says, Progressive Liberal Party Chairman Fred Mitchell said yesterday, public figures who have, in quote, run into rough weather, end quote, should step back from the spotlight. Back or step down. The headline says step down. The article's body says step. Those are two different things. See, you can only step down from a position. And you could step back from an activity, right? So which is it? Because I was confused to this extent about what he was saying, because this is what the article goes on to say. So Mitchell, who made the comment in a voice note sent to supporters, did not mention any specific person by name. Says, in quote, last week I spoke about the convention with regard to conflicts between personal issues and public duties and how they are to be resolved. Now, if it's about personal issues and public duties, then you're saying somebody occupies a public position? Because you being a politician for the party, you know, public, official public position, That's your party political situation, right? So is there a person who occupies a public office, carrying out public duties, who has conflicts between those duties and some personal issues? Because such a person, according to Mr. Mitchell, should step down. Now, if you're a politician, active politician, former politician, you don't have nothing to step down from. You have something you can step back from, right? But I'm not sure yet. So it says, another quote says, another valuable lesson is, those who were once public figures, listen to that, yeah, this, once public figures, and have run into rough weather, should understand the need to step back from public stage. See, now he's saying it, step back, and operate in the shadows if they must at all. You know how many, you know how many former political public figures on the PLP side of life, on the FNM side of life exist? Now, what does it mean to run into rough weather? What does that mean? Does that mean to have run into financial hardship? Does that mean to have come into some legal issues? Does that mean to have come into some moral issues or ethical issues? What does weather mean? What does that mean? What circumstances are there that can be construed as rough weather? The article says, Mitchell, who is the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Member of Parliament for Fox Hill, also weighed in on issues within the Free National Movement. He accused the opposition party of copying the PLP's Canada training module and questioned if the FNM's new training process is a way to purge supporters of former Prime Minister Talk to Human. Y'all have to forgive me, man. This stuff is comical. this is the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party who told Michael Pintard on business. Y'all remember that? Stay out of PLP business. Mind your own business, he said. Who is now deep in the F&M business, wondering whether or not, listen to this now, a training program has been constructed to get rid of the minister's supporters. How would that happen? How would that happen? Tell me how a training program could cause somebody's supporters to be gotten rid of. Why? Because you say, I heard this line of attack from some MINIS supporters now. I heard this. Listen to me. I heard this from some MINIS supporters. There are some MINIS supporters who believe that this training program, which now Mr. Mitchell said was copied from them. Copied? Really? said was copied from them. They said that this was done so that it could frustrate MINIS or something like that. That's what and his supporters. How? Because if you are required to do the training, but you think that you are too big to do the training, you think you are too experienced to do the training, too seasoned to do the training, and you decide, I'm not going to do the training, and therefore disqualify yourself. Somebody calculated that is what is going to happen. I wish somebody construed or constructed an idea that, and because he has to go through this training, I know he can quit. I wish you would try that. I wish the training was 2 years. I'd sit in there for 2 years because I never met a training was harmful to no soul. Never. And that's your attempt to get rid of me? Your attempt to get rid of me is to put me through a training? And I'm too big for the training, man? I would sit there. But you want me to learn 1 + 1 = 2 again? Okay. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. I'd sit in there the whole time. Because if that's your strategy, you got to be dumb as hell. If that's your strategy. And you have to be dumb as hell to think that that is a good strategy or a strategy. Seriously? This is the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in the 21st century, and this is our political dialogue. This is it here. 21st century Bahamas. And we expect to be taken seriously by people. My God, have mercy on my soul. Y'all can't be serious, man. Y'all cannot be serious with all of the fundamental challenges that we have, so all the grand opportunities we can pursue. We think this makes sense. And listen to me, there are people who they are very seriously, passionately certain concerned about this. That somebody constructed a training program to prevent somebody from doing something. First of all, you can't be no party candidate unless the party select you to be its candidate. So why you need a training session to outrule somebody? That makes sense? Mr. Ingram told me, Shivago, this was in 1996. Election was until 1997. He said, are you interested in running in the next election? I said, I was. Okay. So he then went about doing the necessary to seek to have me be a candidate. He had to do that in accordance with the rules of the party because Mr. Ingram thought that I could be a candidate in East Grand Bahama, in High Rock, replacing one of the founding fathers of the FNM. Firstborn, we call him Maurice Moore. The man I voted for the first time I voted in my life was I voted for Maurice Moore. Ms. Ingram thought that I could represent High Rock because it didn't happen. Why? Because you ain't no dictator and no party. You can't make nobody do nothing. Parties, constituency association had other ideas. And so eventually I ended up running in Fort Charlotte where the constituency association there accommodated my candidacy. But somebody thinks, oh, I'm making them have to sit down for a couple of days in a training session. Yeah, okay. This text says, Fred should take heed to his own words too and step down and step away. Enough of him too. Oh, man. Life, my friend, life. It says, Bette Minnis won't want to do the training. He thinks that as former PM, he should be exempt. Well, he may not, but I mean, but he could think that. I wouldn't fault him for thinking that. I really wouldn't. I mean, he has been a former prime minister. He has been a member of parliament, so I wouldn't fault him for thinking that I shouldn't have to do this. Not at all. I don't. I don't fault him for that. What I'm saying, though, is for someone to think that you could frustrate me by making me sit down in a training and I help you realize that ambition by not wanting to sit down for a couple of days in a training because I'm too big? Man, please. Well, I must live in a different world. I must see things totally differently. To sit down in a training of my party for a couple of days, and I've been former prime minister. Mind you, I couldn't. I don't think Mr. Ingram. I don't think Mr. Ingram would do it, but I don't think Mr. Ingram would be putting himself in a situation where, as former prime minister, he is seeking to run like that again. Not as leader. As a member of parliament? Hubert Ingram? You've been prime minister 3 times. But I won't be a candidate again. And I refuse to go and sit in your training, having been a prime minister 3 times, and want to be a candidate again. Oh, boy. Texas, look at the police and law enforcement. They try to train you to have a character and how to do a job. But we have many where the training was not very effective. Some of them still do the things they trained you not to do. That Yeah, because it, but that wouldn't be the fault of the training. See, what training does is it removes the excuse that you weren't trained to do it. See, that's the employer's responsibility. That's the organization's responsibility to ensure that there is not the excuse that I can't do it because I don't know how to do it. Because so you train people so that when you fire their backside, you could say, but all the training we gave you, you still went out there and do that nonsense. So training always good. Whether people fail to do what they're trained to do is irrelevant. What is relevant is that you train people to do, to obey the law, to exercise good judgment, etc. When they go out and don't do that, you don't say, oh, I shouldn't have given you the training in the first place. That's nonsense. Most people will do what the training trains them to do. This text says, Mr. Lang, Fred need to be at the top of the list to go. His text says, good afternoon, sir. You know, if the FNM say to Dr. Minister, former prime minister and a sitting MP, that he needs to sit in the classroom to be educated in how to be an effective member of parliament, not only will that be humiliating, it is borderline disrespectful. Imagine asking Mr. Ingram to do the same thing. Okay, let me reverse it. Imagine Mr. Ingram as a former prime minister going to run in an election as a candidate. Imagine that. Just as a candidate now, not as a leader of the party, as a candidate. Imagine that. Go imagine that. Since we're in the imagining business. How odd would that be? Could you imagine Mr. Ingram doing that? You know what? I'm gonna call him. I'm gonna call him when I'm done and ask him, Mr. Ingram, if you haven't been prime minister before, would you go back and try to be a candidate for the FNM in an upcoming election? I could tell you, I could hear the laughter right now. Since we're in the listen, man, you know how many sessions I have sat in. In fact, the University of Bahamas has a session coming up on performance evaluation that I saw, and this is for senior people. I've done many performance evaluations, and I thought to myself, I said, you know what? You think I may sit in that? You could only be humiliated by doing something that you feel that you are higher than if you have a false sense of who you are as a person. Because you could sit in, you could go, listen to me, you could go back to primary school right now, and I guarantee you, you could learn something new in primary school. And even if you don't learn that, you just, okay, well, you know, this was what we required. How humiliating was it for Jesus to have John the Baptist baptize him? It wasn't, because Jesus ain't that kind of person. He wasn't thinking, I too big for this. He said, man, we have to fulfill all the righteousness that is required. And that's how mature people think, right? They think, you know, hey man, if this is what is required, no problem, no biggie. For me to sit here with you, you're a young man, you just, I opened a restaurant after I was minister in the government of the Bahamas. This isn't anything recent, this was afterwards. You know, because I wanted to be able to work and do some things with the staff in the restaurant who I had hired, I had to get a food handler certificate. And I had to go to Ram Memorial Hospital. I had to sit in a class with all kinds of people. Some of them were constituents of mine. And do the class. And please, y'all wake up. Be a larger and bigger human being than that. Don't let your ego drive you. Ego is a false sense of self. That's what it is. Ego is a false sense of self. The real you could never be embarrassed by doing anything that enhances and builds up you and the world. Not the real you. But the false you can always be done. It can be humiliated that way. Stack says, Dr. Menace put himself in the position to be humiliated. He should step down and save face. Listen, Dr. Menace has been prime minister of the Bahamas. How many people done that in their lifetime? Many more gifted people than him have never been prime minister of the Bahamas. He's achieved a great deal in his life, personal life, private life, and in his political life. Well, nothing to be humiliated about, shameful about. He might have some things to regret. But, you know, that's all part of living, man. This text says, great show as usual. We putting you back in the game. Election 2030, Shivago Lang in Sinan's. Have a great thing. Ring to it. Okay. And now, Mr. Lang, don't cuss school out. The children listening to the show. No, me, I wouldn't cuss, man. No. You could, if you get me the modest I ever been, it is not easy for cussing words to come out of me. This text says, some of these MPs didn't get it right the first time. Training is a must. I must sit Bahamas host on CPR training every 24 months. All public service workers, church volunteers, and civic organization operators need continuous training. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
If you're looking for great value, fantastic flavor, and a choice for lunch today, go to Burger King Nassau and enjoy a King Meal deal for just $5.50, including VAT. Get that signature flame grill taste you love in the Big King Jr. with all the fixings. Served with fries and a drink for just $5.50. Or if you feel like chicken, choose from the Chicken Big King Jr. or a six-piece nugget meal with fries and a drink for just $5.50, including VAT. Satisfy your cravings for those BK flavors you love with the King Meal deal at Burger King Nassau.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady went.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. Or you can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, so if they win the seat, will they keep having to do it every election? I don't know. Says future and present MPs may not be aware of the changing landscape there. That's true. This text says, good afternoon. Quick question, who's going to be teaching these classes? I don't know, actually. I'm told that some of the people have never run before, and some people think that that's a disqualification. I don't think so. I don't think so. People who never run might be able to tell people how people who never run see them. And there's just some basic things. They may be teaching things that they know. It's not just about being a member of parliament. It could be about governance, things about policy stuff and that kind of stuff. Lots of people in the University of Bahamas never run before can teach public policy, and they do. Teach public administration, and they do. Teach government, and they do. Teach budgeting, fiscal budgeting and the like, and they do. So it is. It's kind of ignorant to say you have to have about running. It's nonsense. How many prime ministers become prime ministers and never been prime minister before? In fact, you know, you could be the prime minister for 2 years in training and then become prime minister. Hey, come on, man. If you have a call on the line, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Yeah, Mr. Lang, I am one who would support any type of training, especially for politicians and those who are seeking high office. You know, over the years, what I observed, I came up through the ranks of the FNM from concert rep for the National Torchbearer and hold some branch office as well. But my point that I'm trying to make is, you have a lot of, over the years, I've seen how different parties bring in what you would call outsiders, persons who had no type of affiliation with the FNM with the party, other than perhaps they would have been close with the leader or someone, however it may be, or because of their name, they were brought in. And it did a lot of damage to the party, you know, because you find a lot of people who would have served, who would have been in, they didn't even understand the party's constitution, the party's philosophy. And they stray away from it, and it caused a lot of misunderstandings, et cetera. But I believe that if the screening is a holistic one where it basically teach you about the party's constitution, the philosophy, and all of the other things.
That's a good point.
I believe that it could go along with it.
That's a great point, that lots and lots of people come in to run and what have you, for not only because of their affiliation with the leadership, but maybe they have a talent or skill set that the leadership believes could lend itself to governance, right? But they are not familiar with the nuances of the party structure, constitution, and that, even history. You're right, that's true.
You know, for me, I voted for the first time in 1987, but in 1986, I went to the PNP headquarters, and I was able to get a copy of their party's constitution. I was able to go into the FNM and get a copy of the FNM. And I looked at the PLP, I looked at the FNM, and what caused me to gravitate to the FNM, because it was a party, according to the constitution, it was a party who was founded on freedom of speech, freedom of expression, without fear of victimization, intimidation, and harassment, and it was a party of inclusion. And that kind of captivated me, because at the time we only had one radio station. We only had one, and I heard a lot about victimization, intimidation, and harassment. And that caused me to gravitate to the FM and even seek more training. You know, but I believe that I believe that this type of training, if this is what they're going to do, because I don't know who's going to be training or who's going to be the instructor. And you would find some people who would have served in high office before. better to be careful.
Sure.
They may be reluctant, you know, but it can only help you. And I can't see anyone running away from training, period.
Yeah, but no, but some of the people are saying that a person, say, like Dr. Minnis, if he wanted to be a candidate, should not be required to do this because this is a requirement for prospective candidates.
You know, you're going to go back to the normal farm system about with some are more equal than others. And that ain't what you want to, that ain't the type of, I mean, I'll just do it even if I just say I want for camaraderie. Don't just say that you're dumb or
exactly.
You're stupid. Or you're stupid.
Exactly.
I mean, politics
exactly.
Is not the same. And you don't want to see him as if you're alienating yourself or you're considering yourself higher. Right now, the FNM is basically not as popular as they would have been. You look at the results in the last election. And one of the reasons for that, people were saying that some people just believe that they were more equal than others. And they threw it away. But I think the sense of training is essential and it's long past overdue. That's just my five.
But you know what I find? I don't know if you see this way, but what I find egregious is at this stage in the FNM's life that someone could be having a beef with a trainee because they believe that it's being constructed to offend a former prime minister who sought re-election and lost, who sought re-election to leadership and lost, that they think that makes good sense to have a beef about a trainee over that for a party trying to win the government again.
I just find that to be mind-boggling. I mean, you can't help anyone for the way of thinking, but that type of thinking. I see, I was on a job. I came there to do certain things, and I was, it wasn't aiding and writing, Mr. Lang, but I was in charge of their automotive thing department, their house thing department, and their hydraulic department. Then when I noticed I've been there for like 5 years, I saw one or two boys there training. But when I went upstairs and I said, Chief, I've been here, you know, all these years, I'm basically running these three areas and I haven't gotten any training. And when he told me the reason why I wasn't invited, it was caught because someone was undermining me. But once he found that I was interested, every 3-4 months I was on a training, getting certified. And I took full advantage of it because knowledge is power. But I don't know. But I only believe it can only help the party. If the motive, if you have the right motive behind this motion, I believe that it can work. Now,
if you are a team player, you know what I don't like? Let me tell you what I don't like. When you are a leader, you want everyone else to regard you as leader. And to believe in your insight, believe in your vision, believe in your ability. But then when you're not leader, you treat the leadership in a way you would not have wanted to be treated. I don't like that nonsense.
I heard you mention something about Mr. Ingram, right? But knowing Mr. Ingram, I believe that Mr. Ingram just would go there just because of camaraderie, but he or just the oversight. Just the I don't believe you have an issue with that.
First of all, Mr. Ingram put himself in a position to have to go through that. But I'm saying, I agree with you. If in the end, for the sake of the party, he would definitely do so.
I believe that. He would encourage it. I believe he would encourage it, you know, because...
I agree with you.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Lang, for this contribution.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you calling. Man, listen to me, man. Michael Pintard. Listen... It could be somebody else whose name I'm calling now, but Michael Pintard is the leader of the Free National Movement today, right? Michael Pintard, a younger man. This younger man has been elected by his convention to lead his party, right? Elected by his convention to lead his party. There is an election that's going to come up in a couple of years. What should a party be doing? Rather than saying, young man, run. How can I help, sir? You know, Michael Pintard ain't telling me to say this. I had no conversation with him. Let me tell you all what I know. Michael Pindad and Dr. Hubert Minnis, when Hubert Minnis was leader of the Free National Movement and Prime Minister of the Bahamas, at both when before and after, they did not get along. And by getting along, I mean, there were issues, let's put it like that. I'm going to say not more than that. But when Michael Pindad was chairman of the Free National Movement, Dr. Minnis was leader, Mr. Pindad went out there and bat for the party and bat for his leader. And when he was prime, when he was in government, did his job, did his work. Did anybody get a glimpse that, oh, you know what, them two ain't getting along because of something he said, Michael Pindad said, or undermined, or tried? No. I know the frustration he suffered in that office. I know. And come on, man. You know what is commendable of senior leadership? To show regard for the leadership that follows. You know why some people demonstrate the inability to lead? Terrible ability to follow. I know more, and I've seen more, and I could say more. But that's as much as I'm going to say today. It's crazy. Madness. This text is, in my opinion, some modules may be more relevant for certain individuals than others. Example, communication with the press, door-to-door campaigning does and don'ts, etc. Well, some may be more relevant for many who even have served, even if they serve a long time, like communication. But how about one of the modules in quick communication? How about one of the modules in public speaking? Who couldn't use the training in that? Because you've been in office a long time? Please. Absolute nonsense. This text says, Shivago, this class of 2021 MPs must have skipped candidates training, worst of the worst. And when it comes to any former PM trying to seek re-election, not a good idea letting your legacy go to waste. And if people say they don't want you no more, just go right there. I tell you one thing, if you tell me that. But Fort Charlotte, I ran for re-election in Fort Charlotte, and they said no. Mr. Lang, no. I love those people. I don't hate them. I'm not angry, upset. Well, upset. They had a right to tell me what they tell me. Don't know. I got my backside. That's what you're supposed to do. Shoot, how many times are you supposed to sit down and let people tell you no? And I say no. This text says, what is the procedure to get into politics? Is there some type of studying and education? There's none whatsoever. None whatsoever. Most politicians I know the law to and from. Really? I think training should come before you even consider getting into a political role. Well, I don't know what you call training, but what if you're going to take on any job, you should learn about the job, right? You should learn what it requires in terms of skill set. You should learn what the job is, what it does. You should learn the context in which the job exists. So then you can do that without any formal training if you are a studious person. But there are some aspects of it that you really have to get an understanding from people who have been there. I can tell you one thing, but I got a first class understanding of things, not a complete and exhaustive, but first class, having sat under the tutelage of Ms. Ingham. And Ms. Ingham wasn't sitting me down, teaching me nothing. As we talked, as we interacted, as he guided, he shared, he instructed. I listened to him as he talked to all of us, etc. Man, listen to me, man. I was a student in school. That's what it was. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. That's what it was. This text is also as basic as etiquette protocol. I mean, and there's all kinds of things you can gather from a training in respect of politics, all kinds of things. It's Texas miscellaneous beef, because it seems to be personal now, not just what I observe. I honestly don't know, my brother. I can't tell you. I can't tell you what it is in particular. But Mr. Pinta would not have been the only person with whom Dr. Menace had a beef. You want me to make a list? And you can't know why people have a beef with you. You can't, how do you know in somebody's head? Sometimes people just don't like you because they don't like you. I didn't meet you, nigga, my spirit don't take to you. And that's that. Some people are insecure and they decide, well, your talent might outshine my talent and I therefore don't want you around. Or I have to keep you at bay. You don't know. You can't ever know what is in a person's head that might cause them to have issues with you. All you do is live your life and move on and be respectful, be courteous, and do yourself the professional self you know to be and do. It's the only thing you could do. One thing you could be sure of is people digging ditches almost always dig two. Almost always. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this final break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening.
And I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for these remaining moments. We read some of your texts. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Great show. My experience in some workspace, I came across persons who don't want to be told, much less get trained or training, because they figured that they're too old. and I've been in that space for a long time. Okay. It's text says, Marty, suck my teeth. Petty, that's what it is. I think that's what it is, pettiness. It's text says, that's a serious thing. We would never know why people don't like us. Iron sharpened iron. Yeah, you don't never know. You can't be in anybody's heart. And even if somebody tell you why they don't like you, that might be the reason why they don't like you. You just don't know. So you smile at somebody's girl and you just was smiling for smiling's sake. They think something else and boom, that's another beef. How you know? You don't know. You just don't know. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. I thought you would have been the next prime minister when you were involved with the party. I think you would have made a great PM. I thank you for your kind words. This text says, I think many of us need training in how to pick a leader to represent a country and what to look for in candidates when we go to put our finger to the appropriate person on the paper. Okie dokie, I agree with you 100%. That's true. Stacks, it ain't too late for you in time. You're trying to cause beef again. Don't worry with me. Hey, straight. I could tell Dr. Minnesota Pintard and Dr. Sands as threats, which is kind of strange, right? You would see somebody as threat and you have the position? Bag, damn it. Well, that's something. I wouldn't. You got the position, man. And you know, if you get the position and you perform well, I don't care how talented nobody else on planet Earth is. They ain't gonna take you to that position. You know, talent doesn't make you prime minister or leader of the party, you know. Not talent alone. No, man. There's many things that go into it. There are many more talented people around than people who have come to lead. It's not just talent alone. There's some other things that are required. Sometimes luck will get you there. Yeah, you got the right seat and right circumstances. Boy, listen, that'll make it possible. So it's not, you know, it's, and sometimes you can't outdo what God intends to do. Sometimes that's just how it goes. Don't be jealous for no man things. And don't be envious for no man things. Huh? Don't be. Sometimes people climb high enough for you to see they're on the bottom and go, Don't be smart. Brave Davis is leader of the PLP. And if there is another person who wants to lead the PLP, if the opportunity arises where they have a legitimate opportunity to contest, they could do so and they should do so. But once that's done, they should support Brave Davis as leader of the party. Give him the 100% of support. To undermine him is to demonstrate a lack of leadership ability, a lack of character, a deprivation of integrity in your innards to do so. Michael Pindar is the leader of the party. You know, he might have his critics. They could criticize him. That's not a problem. But if you're trying to become the government, diminishing him ain't gonna do that. So you want to tell whether people interested in the FNM being the government? You watch how they treat Mr. Pintard. You'll know if they're interested in the FNM being the government. You'll know in a hurry. Don't mind what they tell you. Just watch what they do. That'll tell you. You living in the past. Someone used to be leader. Someone now is a leader, not having made themselves leader. You know, they had to go to the convention and had to get the convention to vote for them. Now, they are the leader. They're the person that has to take you in the next general election and you there punching them and junking them up and so forth. Okay. I can tell you this much. If you don't think somebody should be the leader of the country, even if they're in your party, if you don't think so, Well, I think you should do the right thing and not help them. You believe in your heart. If that's what you believe, in your heart. I would not do anything to help somebody become leader of the Bahamas. I didn't think she'd be leader of the Bahamas. I would not. Even if they were the leader of my party, I would not. I wouldn't do that. I might as well tell you. Says this text says, I can't wait to see how many sitting PLP MPs get the axe. Okay. Kidoki. Says they would rather destroy the party than let Pintad win. Sad. I remember you, the Singham used to say, listen, your worst day in government is better than your best day in opposition. I used to say that. But that ain't true for everybody. Because some people, they got their mutton, they're chewing their mutton, and they are satisfied with their lives. And so if they can't be what they want to be, and they angry with you for being what they want to be, they don't have a problem mashing you up and taking the whole thing down because they're comfortable chewing their mutton. Some people are, that's their life. Whole just like that. Let me tell you, some human beings, we are something else. We are something else. I have a fellow, when I represented my whole city, who wanted me as a minister to call up a company to row out the company because they didn't do something for them. Personal something for them. To this day, this very scene, used to be a general in Marco City, to this day, still mad with me. And you think I care? I just see them from time to time, and you think it bothers me? Not one single lick. For me to do wrong so you could get what you want and you believe that that's how it should be. Okay. Thought that I should have been able to get them something somewhere, which was not my power to do, and because they didn't get it, they mad at me. That don't tell you nothing about me. That tell me a lot about you. And I have often said to people, there are some people it's better for you to lose without them than to win with them. You hear me? Better to lose without them than to win with them, because when you win with them, you can catch more hell than you would have fought if you had lost without them. This text says, I have had the experience of being excluded from training because a senior manager was threatened by my existing knowledge. What did I do in response? I said to myself, have it, in my Ingram voice. And I went and got training elsewhere. You can't take knowledge out of someone's head. These candidates should be running to get this knowledge, absolutely. And if they don't provide the training, go get it yourself. Well, you could get lots of training. You could talk to lots of people who've been in office and get them to give you some perspectives. There are lots of people who haven't been in office. There are lots of people, they're former permanent secretaries and former civil servants and others who understand things. You got take you got people who've been like take several times, right? Who's been a chief clerk in the House of Assembly. Man, you sit down with him, that man give you knowledge to tell from here to there, right? And others, right? So you don't have to wait for a training to get a need to be a capable and competent soul in the work that you seek to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Just so glad that you could join us today. God spares our lives. We will talk to you again another time. You take care. Bye-bye. Everybody, everybody.